Philippians. You got your Bible? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I don't know if y'all noticed it this morning or not, but Brother Mike about got in the spirit. He was up here singing with Billy and them. And he got the... I thought he was going to run. I really did. And amen. Philippians. Wait a minute. Let's don't start there. Let's start in 2 Corinthians. Let's start in, and then we'll get back to Philippians chapter 3. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I got four or five scriptures I want to read, but I'm going to shorten myself a little bit here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1 in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we'll get back to Philippians 3 in a minute. I enjoyed this morning. Had a good time. I don't always enjoy preaching, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's just labor. But this morning I had liberty. It wasn't labor. And I think some people got some help. 2 Corinthians. Did I say 2 Corinthians? All right. Let's start with verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able. Ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about how we are not sufficient. Our inadequacies, I guess you could say. I know y'all wouldn't think that a boy from Lancaster could spell that. Was that a yeah you thought?
No,
I could? Okay. Amen. Amen. We all are insufficient in different areas. All of us are. We all are insufficient when it comes to serving God. We're insufficient when it comes to living for God. We're insufficient in the areas in our lives that we have, our our fatherhood, motherhood, our siblings, and all our relationships. We're not enough. We're never enough. You can never in this flesh do enough to be sufficient enough to be what other people need. It's not in us. We're selfish, sinful, fallen, frail creatures. We need help. And he said, not that we're sufficient of ourselves. We're not. But our sufficiency, he said, is from God. Now, if we do anything, it's going to be through him. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. I don't know about you, but I fear being insufficient, inadequate. I fear that all the time. Every Sunday, I'm a nervous wreck. I know y'all can't tell that the way I run around here with like a chicken with his head cut off. But every time I have to preach, I'm nervous every time I have to preach. And I change messages a lot. Of course, when you've been preaching as long as I have, you got plenty of them, you know. But yesterday I was so nervous about what I was going to preach this morning. I came over here yesterday to cut the grass. And before I cut the grass, I changed my message for this morning. And sat down, wrote something I'd never preached in a way I'd never preach it. And that's what you got this morning. But I felt like the whole time, it was still not sufficient. It's not going to hit the mark. It's not going to do what it needs to do because I'm the one doing it. And then I have to remember this scripture that we're not sufficient of ourselves. It's His sufficiency that does it. And He said, preach the Word, not my Word, but His Word. And His Word always works. Mine doesn't always work. Sometimes I give advice to church members without them asking. You shouldn't do that. Hallelujah, you know that? You don't ever give advice when somebody doesn't ask you. Well, I'm bad about it. I'm bad about it. Me and my wife have been watching that old TV show, Monk. Y'all remember Monk? I'm about half Monk. And because I walk around and I'll say, this place is a mess. Who's in charge here? And that song they have, you know, he's in that song, Who's in Charge Here? And everywhere we go, I look around and find things. And my wife says, shut up, you ain't in charge here. And but even when I am in charge, I don't feel like I'm sufficient for the job. So God has to do that. God does that. God changes the human heart. God moves minds and spirits. We don't do that. But feeling inadequate is good for us. It's good for us. The Bible teaches probably number one sin is pride. Sinful pride. Haughtiness, pride and haughtiness, and stiff-necked, hard-headed. You know about that, don't you, Brother Ron? His wife said, yeah, he knows all about that. But the point being, it's good that we feel that way. Because if you ever feel self-sufficient, then you've become your own God. You become your own teacher. You become your own master. But feeling insufficient or inadequate, there are several things it does that's good for us. Number one, write this down. They drive us to God. It drives me to pray more when I feel that way. It drives me to try to get closer to Him. If I feel self-sufficient, I may not seek the Lord's guidance. And I've done that. We all have. We've felt adequate, self-sufficient, so we didn't seek God. we like that old TV program, that the Puerto Rican or Mexican, whatever he was. I don't remember the name of it. Some kind of comedy. His wife would say something. He'd say, I got this. And she'd look at him and shake her head because he usually didn't have it. Amen. But that's the way we are sometimes. We'll look at a situation or somebody and we'll say, we got this. I got this. And then because we feel sufficient, we don't seek God's guidance. So it's good that we feel inadequate or insufficient. Amen? Amen. Don't ever quit feeling like that. My wife teaches school. Becky teaches school. I guarantee if you ask them any given day, are you ready for this? They say, not completely. Not completely. Never. Ask any good preacher, is he ready to stand up and preach? And if he's honest, he's kind of preachy old to be, he'll say, not completely. I'm hoping the Lord will get in on it. Amen? Amen. Sunday school, everything same way. The next thing you do is Philippians 4:13. Look at Philippians 4:13. If you will, and I'm trying to go fast. I know y'all old people like to get home before dark. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, what it does, what feeling insufficient does, or inadequate, are you listening? Yes, sir. It makes me feel like I don't have the strength, so I have to put that burden on Him. And I do. I pray this. I say, Lord, if this doesn't get done, or if I don't do it right, if I mess it up, Lord, I'm putting it on you. Amen. Yeah. And y'all hear me say it all the time. If I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it because I'm putting it on Him. Amen. That day, Marshfield, I put it all on Him and I've not worried about it since because I'm inadequate or insufficient. I cannot make it to heaven without Him. So I call on Him for my strength. I call on Him. I look to Him. So when I feel insufficient for a job that God wants me to do, then I need to look for Him to give me strength to do that. And boy, you wouldn't believe how many times He's done that. So many times. But not just in preaching, in living, in our daily trials and tribulations. We have to put the burden on Him. We're insufficient. We're inadequate to carry those burdens. You'll fall under that burden. You won't be able to do it. All kinds of things. Trial, tribulation, temptation, loss of a loved one, disappointment of friends, betrayal by people you thought were your friends, all kind of stuff. You can't carry that. You're not built in such a way. That's why these psychiatrist's offices are full of people. That's why the narcotics producers, I'm talking about the people, the companies that produce narcotics, are billionaires, because these people can't carry the load by themselves. They're insufficient. And instead of turning to the Creator of the universe, they turn to chemicals to help them forget it instead of endure it. And life's hard. Life's hard. And we're not sufficient in ourselves. So we have to put the burden on Him. And through Christ who strengthens us. Christ does that. We don't do that. A lot of times people will walk up to you and they'll say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. All you have to go through, I don't know how you do it. And you just look at them and say, I don't. If I do, it's the Lord that did it. And then Galatians chapter 5, if you will. Now, listen. If something happens to you, and if you go through trial and tribulation, and if you have problems, and that ain't even if, that's when. That's a when. Your insufficiency will force you to do things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, if you will. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Those insufficiencies will force us to live our lives and to do things for Him and others through His power. It'll force us to live in the Spirit. A tribulation will drive you on your knees, which will drive you to the Holy Spirit. They force us to do things. Betrayal, for instance. You don't ever want to be a pastor if you don't want to be betrayed. That drives a preacher closer to God and less in trust in people and more trust in God. Amen. Here's what I told a fellow the other day. I said, you have not disappointed me. I learned a long time ago not to look at people to make me happy. I look to the Lord to make me happy. And if you did, hey, if you don't make me happy, I don't blame that on you, because you're just a human being and you can't make me happy. It's not in you. You're sinful just like everybody else, and you'll let me down. So if I have no expectations, then I can't be hurt. See that? You see what I'm saying? These things will drive us. They'll drive us to God, which will drive us to seek His sufficiency that we do not have. We just don't have. You wouldn't believe since I started. Well, I'll just say since I was licensed preacher, 1982. How many young preachers I've seen come and go, 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 come and go. Most of them you couldn't even find them anymore. They're not in the ministry. A lot of them not in church. Very few stay with it. You know why? They're looking to themselves or some people or church or group of people to sustain them, when they should be looking to the Lord. Amen? I don't know, some of y'all know the church in Fort Mill just lost their pastor. Now, most churches, when they lose their pastor, the church disintegrates. You know why? They were looking to the pastor to fulfill them and not the Holy Spirit. And when the pastor disappointed them or deserts them or whatever the case may be, then they fall apart because they're not sufficient to carry the load, because they kept passing it on the pastor when they should have been putting it on the Lord and let the Holy Spirit do it for them. Now, one day I'll get too old to preach. Don't get excited. Most of you will be gone by the time that happens. To heaven. But I'll get too old to preach one day, and I'll have to find somebody to stand up here and do this. And y'all have to vote him in, and you'll have to decide, this guy we need this. But I want to teach you that it's not me that gets you through things. It's God that gets you through things. It's the Holy Spirit that gets you through things. Now, I love my wife, and I know going through things over the years, you know, loss of loved ones and stuff, and when her mother passed away, a terrible time in our life. But I knew I couldn't comfort her the way she... Now, I tried, but I knew I couldn't comfort her the way she needed to be comforted. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And when I lost my mom, I'll never forget, she rolled over and just didn't say nothing. She just hugged me, you know, there that night. And, you know, the first few nights, you can't sleep. But I knew she couldn't fulfill the need I had in me. I had looked to God to do that. When I first got in church, we went to several churches. We served in several churches, and on several occasions we lost pastors. But it didn't deter me because, see, I wasn't looking to the pastor. I was so dumb and ignorant, I wasn't like most church members. I was looking to the Lord. I didn't think the pastor was supposed to support me. I thought the Holy Spirit did that. And the churches fell apart. So I want to go ahead and tell you, if I leave here, if I drop dead, if you decide to fire me, you shouldn't have been looking for me to make you sufficient anyway. Now, I'm going to preach His Word. You look to that Word, you see. Look to His Holy Spirit. But things force us to go to God because we know in ourselves we don't have what is sufficient to supply what we need at that moment. So we turn to God. And it's good for us sometimes to have those kind of needs. All sickness ain't a curse. All tears are not a curse. We live in an age now, Brother Jeffrey, where church members think they're never supposed to cry. They're never supposed to be heartbroken. They're never supposed to be disappointed. Well, I've got news for you. That's what made your mom and daddy the Christians they are. And we want to rob our children, our grandchildren of those things. We don't want them to cry. We don't want them to hurt. We don't want them to go through trial and tribulation. When it's exactly what made us what we are today, because it drove us to the foot of the cross. Amen. I understand what you mean by people want to feel good about themselves. And in Christ, I think we ought to. I think He chose us. He saved us. He keeps us. We'll feel good about that. But you don't feel good about self. You feel good about Him and what He's done in you and on you and through you. Amen? This self-esteem stuff, a lot of it's straight out of the devil. Amen? Amen? And that's why the first judgment fell on planet Earth. Amen? Now, and then, did you know these things provide opportunity for God to demonstrate what great things He can do with such a little thing as me and you?
Amen, brother.
Yes. These things that make us feel insufficient, they make us feel inadequate, they hurt our self-esteem. Those are the things that God can use that He can get glory. And when He gets through with what He's doing through us, He can point to us and say, see there, you didn't think you could do anything. Look what I just did through you. Amen. And we can stand up and sing little as much when God is in it.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
And so you shouldn't always feel good about yourself. And it doesn't hurt us not to feel good about ourselves. And we're teaching these kids nowadays, you know, you're the prettiest one, you're the smartest one, you're the greatest one, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. Why don't you shut up and try to get them to Jesus? He's the prettiest one, and He's the greatest one, and He'll make them feel better than anything else. They have a need. We need to show them their need and show them what He can do with such little that we give Him. Because, see, if we get right down to it, we realize, just like the Apostle Paul, we're incapable of doing anything good without Him. All good things come from the Father. Do I feel inadequate? Sure I do. Do I feel like I'm insufficient? Sure I do. Can God use that? Greatly. He can greatly use that. You'll never read in church history or history of America where anyone that stepped up and thought they were great ever turned out to be great. It's usually somebody that stands up and says, well, I don't know a whole lot, but I'll do what I know. Amen? Yeah. Church is usually, boy, you get all these boards and committees and stuff, you know, and these people think they're the smartest ones in church. But guess what? They ain't the ones that cut the grass. They're not the ones that clean the bathroom. They're not the ones that teach the Sunday school. They're not the ones that tithe best. They're not the ones that paint a room when it needs painting. They're not the ones that visit the sick. They're not the ones that go to the funeral. They're not the ones that plant the flowers. Amen? Amen. But they think they're sufficient. Yes. Because I have a title. Now, you know what these things do? They'll allow God to get all the glory. And every Sunday people walk out here and they'll tell me how great a preacher I am, how great a sermon that was. And I appreciate that and I know what you're saying. But if I ever get to where I don't say, well, it's all him, not me, then I done messed up. Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to look at it, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. And the first few words in that next verse says, for consider him. Now these insufficiencies, these feelings of being inadequate, you know what they'll do? They allow God to get all the glory. Amen. Because it shocks us when we do something for God. It shocks us. People say, man, what do you think about what's going on down there at your church? I say, I'm shocked. I'm surprised every time. I'm just shocked. I can't tell you how I feel about it because it's not me, it's him that does it. They don't come down here to see me. They don't come see you. They like us or they wouldn't come back. And some of them don't. Amen. That's okay. That's okay. They come to see and hear from him, not us. And when you sing the way you sing, they hear him. They don't hear you. And when the choir gets in there, boy, and it really rolls, they hear God. Oh, Roy, you're not that good looking. They're not looking at you. They're looking at him. I know you love him, but there's somebody for everybody. I know. But listen, it ain't you. It's not this old white-headed old preacher they come to hear. They want to hear from God. Amen. They love your friendliness, but they want to feel the love of God, not your love. And the way God does that is through inadequate people. More than once, men have told me, you wouldn't want me to come to your church and sit down there. People, if they knew who I was and where I came from, they wouldn't want me to sit there. And more than once, I've said, if you knew who they were and where they come from, you probably wouldn't want to sit beside them either. See, God uses imperfect people in His perfect plan. Amen? Amen. 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 So, what we have to do, we have to allow God through our pitiful insufficiencies to get glory out of us. The Bible says, consider the ant. I mean, of all creatures on planet Earth, we're supposed to look down on the ant and consider that because we think we're so magnificent and we're so wonderful and we're so complete, and that pitiful little old ant. Well, he can pick up 10 or 15 times his own weight. And he can carry it. And for me or you, we see him walk from here to that piano. I said, well, that ain't far. But his legs ain't that long. That would be a two-day trip for us. And you was up in an airplane. Did you look out down there at those roads? Is the higher you get, the smaller people get, and the smaller cars get, and the smaller trains and boats get, till finally you can't even see nobody. You're so far up. And that's the way God sees us, same way we see an ant. Yeah. That ant can't do nothing without God. We ain't got nothing to brag about. So we'll give God the glory, every bit of it. Paul wrote, you don't apologize for the way you lead the choir and music. Don't you do that. And when people say, well, that was good, say, give God the glory. Yeah. Give God the glory. And then, last but not least, Philippians 2:13. And I'm going to try to quit, okay? But let me tell you something. If you think that you're sufficient, that is a good sign that you're very insufficient. Philippians 2. Look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Did you know if there's anything good in you, if there's a desire to do good, to be good, to accomplish good, did you know God put that in you? That's not our nature. Our nature is rebellion. Our nature is simple pride. Our nature is go the opposite direction of what God wants us to go. And it says right here, He puts that in you. Somebody said one time, well, let me tell you what I've been doing for God. There was a preacher in town, then he went to Fort Mill, and now he's gone. But anyway, I met him in the hallway when he first came to town. I was at the hospital, and I take that back hallway up by the Imogene Center. I stopped in there the other day, and I asked that nurse, I said, Imogene who? She said, what? I said, this place is named Imogene. What's her last name? She said, what? I said, Imogene Center. Who's Imogene? She laughed. Oh, I get it. But I was walking up past the Imogene Center, and this guy came. He's wide open coming down the aisle. And I recognized him from television. They had a TV program. And I introduced myself. And I said, I know you're new in town. I just want to introduce myself, be your friend if you need a friend. And he started talking about himself. And he said, let me tell you what we're doing at our church. Let me tell you what I did the other week. Let me tell you how we went to Africa. Let me tell you about our new choir. Let me tell you this, and let me tell you that. And as soon as he got through telling me all about himself and his wonderful words, he said, got to go, and took off. He didn't ask me my name. He didn't ask me my wife's name. He didn't ask me my children's name. He didn't know what church I was pastoring. He didn't care. I want you to know, if there's something in you to do good and it's an unselfish thing, God put that in you. God put that in you. And it says that very plainly. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, in other words, to want to, and to do of His good pleasure. You know why people don't go to church more than they do? They don't want to. You know why people don't lead people to Christ any more than they do? They don't want to. You know why they don't live holier lives than they do? They don't want to. It's not that God forgot to put it in them. It's just they ignored what He said. There's lost people walked out of here today. One of them was nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. Go ahead, laugh. And he got up and went out of the room three times. And came back three times. And that was God on that man. Another one got up and went out, and he came back in, and he got up during the invitation and took off out that door. That was God doing that. Now, they can deny that. They can ignore that. But, if something was telling them they needed to get saved, that wasn't Preacher Ron Roddy. That was God, the Holy Ghost, that put that in them. And if they had surrendered, He would have worked it out in them. They wouldn't have had to work it out. I've never had to do anything to be saved. He did all that. He put it in me to want it, and then He saved me, did all the work. All I had to do was just receive what He had for me. Amen? There's other people in here who were convicted about the way they had treated loved ones, the way they had treated parents or mothers, and they ignored the Holy Ghost and God, the Holy Spirit. I saw it on them. God put it on them in their heart and in their mind. They needed to get that right, and they did not do it. And they walked out insufficient. and they'll never be happy. And they'll never have self-esteem until they submit to the one who put that in them in the first place, because it's not natural for us to feel that way. And he put it in, and they'll never be happy, and they'll never be fulfilled, and they'll never feel sufficient or adequate until they surrender to what God has put in them to do. And that's be saved or get right with God. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met was in church. Because they feel insufficient. They feel inadequate. They feel like failures. They feel like they're disappointments to people and all this stuff. But you know what? Only they can fix that. Because God, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will. He put that in your will to be that way. And to do. And we've got a bunch of Christians that's never going to feel like they ought to feel. Amen. I'm going to tell you the truth. Thomas ain't got a lick. Not one lick of rhythm. Not one. I seen you, brother. You ain't got none. You old white boy, you ain't got no rhythm. But he'll get up here singing, and he'll get back there too, and he'll get the swaying while he's singing, you know. Boy, he was up here today, and he was, God put that in him. And you know what? He didn't even realize what he was doing, but he was feeling good about himself. Because he was submitting to the Spirit of God, and it made him feel good. You want to feel good? Get right with God.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 But look, there's nothing more satisfying than seeing God use our willingness to advance His kingdom. I'll always say, Brother Ron, you agree with me, the next greatest thing to being saved is seeing somebody else get saved, and you had a little hand in it. You had a little hand in it. You might have been the one that planted, or you might have been the watered, or you might have been the one that God gave the increase, but that's the next best feeling, to see somebody be saved as it is to be saved. Why? Because God put that will in you to do whatever you did to make that happen, and then He gave you the ability to do the work to get it done. We're insufficient. Our church is insufficient. Our families are insufficient. And we can't help it. And we need help. And that's why James says, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to thee. When you get to feeling less than best, I grew up, you know, called me white trash, and back then they called us hoods for hoodlum, you know, they called us hoods, a little bunch of little hoods, cussed at, and just grew up feeling like you're just insufficient. You're not good as other people. And I'd see people that lived in brick houses back then, if you lived in brick houses, you was rich. And I had friends lived in brick houses, and I thought, man, I can't go in there. I won't know how to act. At 18 years old, my mother-in-law invited me. I'd started been dating my wife for a little while, and my mother-in-law had her invite me to supper. I'd never been to a girl's house to eat supper. I'd never known a girl that would invite me to her mom and daddy's house. And so they invited me to supper, and I sit there, Brother Mike, and she brought out this supper. Now, they lived in a little old house over on Oconee Avenue, a little three-bedroom house. Later on, we bought one. But I thought they were rich. They had cars. They had inside heat and all this, you know. But I sat down at that table, and her mama brought out a big plate, and it had a big old steak and a baked potato and a salad. And I'd never seen a steak and a baked, I'd seen baked potatoes, but I'd never seen a steak and a baked potato and a salad. I looked at that salad and I thought, how am I going to eat that and not look like a buffoon? I mean, it wasn't like slaw where you pick it up with a fork, you know, you kind of had to be careful. It'd go everywhere. I'd never done that. And I looked at that steak and I thought, well, if I was at Mom's house, I'd just pick it up and eat it like a pork chop. The only steak I'd ever seen was they called it a hamburger steak, which wasn't nothing but a glorified hamburger on a plate, you know. So I sat there and I thought, well, I'm going to wait and see how they do it. And I watched them for a minute, and then I kind of called on. And later on, Thelma told my wife, said that I was so nice and polite because I let everybody else start eating before I did. I wasn't nice. I felt insufficient. I felt inadequate. I felt out of place. But I remember March 5th, 1978, when I got born again and I became a child of the King. And I've never felt any less than anybody else since then. Now, I felt insufficient for things I had to do for God or had to do to be a good Christian or had to do to be a good husband or a good father. I felt inadequate and insufficient for the callings of God, but I've never felt insufficient as a child of God. And I'm just as good as anybody else. I preached a sermon one time, Belinda, and I called it, "You Are Somebody." We are. We're somebody. We're a child of the King. Amen. Now, I know we don't always feel that way. We don't always feel like we're going to do what we need to do, when we need to do it, the way we ought to do it. But you can always remember, He is going to fulfill everything in you that He put in you. Amen. As far as He's concerned, you're a winner. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You're already in heaven, far as He's concerned. You can't mess this up. But don't ever lose those feelings either. Don't get filled up with pride and arrogance. Now tonight, maybe one of you crowd this side, you might feel insufficient or inadequate to go to heaven. And if you've never been born again, you are. You don't have what it takes to go to heaven. You wasn't born that way. You were born the opposite way. And you need to receive Christ and let Him fulfill that for you. Let Him pay the ticket. He's already paid the price. Looking unto Jesus, I read it, the author and finisher of our faith. He did that, so you don't have to be adequate. You don't have to be sufficient in that area. He's already arranged it for you. So if you're not saved tonight, you keep that feeling till you come to Him. And then when you come to Him, that feeling will go away about salvation. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your inerrant, inspired, inspiring Word of God. Yes, help us this week, Lord, to know that without You, we can do nothing. Yes, Lord. And all our righteousness is a filthy rag. Help us, Lord, to keep looking up instead of in. To look up to Thee. And then, Lord, put in us, put Your will in us what to do. And then give us the ability to do what You've called us to do. Make us witnesses this week. Make us good parents, good siblings, good husbands and wives. Good examples, the best we can be, God. Give us that ability. Because in us, we can't do it, Lord. We fail so much. And then, Lord, whatever You do, You know one day we're going to stand up there with the rest of them and sing, "Jesus paid it all to Him I owe." And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Holroyd, sing us a song. You got one? 269. 269.